Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible question you'd like to pose, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742 is the toll-free number in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yes, thank you, Bob. It is Valentine's Day. It's also Ash Wednesday. It's kind of interesting that those two fall on the same particular date this year. That has to do with when Easter falls, so it's just one of those rare days. But I thought in honor of both, we would read, I think, one of the most powerful passages in all the Word of God. We hear it a lot at weddings and that sort of thing, but oftentimes we don't really pay attention to this definition of love that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. He says this, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and this love never ends or never fails." Well, folks, this is the kind of love that God has poured out on us in Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, this is God's love for you. And as we, as believers, abide in this love, live in this love, then this love is going to flow through us and impact and transform and revolutionize every single relationship that we have. And this is the kind of love that's needed out there in the world. There's a lot of romantic love, and that's what people are talking about in the world out there. But what's really needed is the love of God that's been demonstrated to us in Christ Jesus. And today we want to give away, I have a little book called Love Is that really amplifies what this definition is. And we want to put a copy of that book in your hands. It's just free for the asking. And you can call 844-322-2742 and request your copy of Love Is. But I think as you read that book, as you look at this particular passage, and you really recognize that this is the love of God for you, it is going to transform your relationship first and foremost with God, and then is going to transform your other relationships. A powerful passage, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, I mean, you look at this description here of this love, and I guess, you know, the first thing the type A achievers want to do, Bob, is pull out the legal pad and start taking notes and then try their best at it for the next week or month or year, or make it our New Year's resolution. You know, we hear these passages at weddings and that sort of thing, and when we do, we just think, wow, all right, well, I'll go home and get started and we'll see how it goes. But you know, really what Paul is saying here is this is a description of God's love, and you know, this is agape being described, and he doesn't say you need to hurry up and love people or try your hardest. He's saying, do you possess this love? So how would you possess, how would you have this love? Well, as you said, it would have to be poured out in our hearts. And so we have to be receivers of this love, not achievers, but receivers. And that's how our relationship with Christ got started. You know, I'm designed to be a receiver and a reflector, but I'm not really an achiever. And when I wrap my mind around that, then I understand, oh, that's why he's saying, you know, be filled to the measure of the fullness of God's love. Let God's love consume you. Let, you know, take it in, absorb it, soak in it, rest in it, because, you know, that's the way we're designed, guys. If we try to be God, or we try to crank out agape, that's a bottomless pit. That's never going to happen. It's going to end in real disappointment. And, you know, there's teaching out there that says, gosh, you got to love more, do more, be more, serve more, love God more, and prove your love and that sort of thing. We need to remember that we only love because he first loved us. And what this love is God's love, and we're designed to be receivers of it, and not achievers. So just some thoughts on that as we approach relationship with each other. Remember, we've got that love poured out in our hearts, and it belongs to God. He has the market cornered on agape, and what a privilege it is to have him living in and through us.
Yes, indeed. And it's kind of interesting when you look at this, our English language really doesn't convey the real meaning of the Greek language. Love is patient. We think patient is an adjective. So this is kind of a feeling in God's heart that he has toward us. But actually, these are action words. These are all verbs that the Apostle Paul is using. And it describes the fact that God takes action on our behalf. And the idea of him being kind, that's an act that he does on our behalf for our benefit. Well, what was that act? It was forgiving our sins and making us alive together with Christ. It's delivering us from bondage to sin and death. That's God's act of kindness toward us, and that's what we call love. And so that's what we really need to receive and to rest in and to thank God for. And I tell you, if you really understand this, and just draw upon it and just soak in what this love is all about, it will revolutionize your life.
Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis. Bob, elaborate just a little bit further on the booklet, Love Is, that we're giving away.
Well, I wrote it a number of years ago, and it's really just an in-depth look at this definition of love, some personal examples. It's been very helpful. It's a practical book in how to receive this love of God, how to abide in this love of God, and how to be a vessel for this love to be passed through you. So we want to put that in your hands. It's free for the asking today as our Valentine's gift to you. And folks, you can call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742, and request your copy of Love Is.
And on top of that, of course, we want to remind you of always that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast, and we'll say thanks for your support this month by sending you a copy of the new CD that Bob produced called Established in Truth. So two birds with one stone with one call, I guess.
Yes,
I should say right now. It's our gift back to you when you donate to help keep Basic Gospel on the air every day and online as well. And to make your gift and receive your copy of Established in Truth, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And while you're on the line, request your copy of Love Is as well, or go online to basicgospel.net to make that donation. Well, a question, guys. This is from Helen concerning Matthew 7:22. She says, I'm wondering about this particular passage, and she quotes it, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." So she wants to know who this verse is intended for.
Yeah, well, guys, you know, this is a question we get often. You know, if you back up just one verse or two, you see that there's a good tree contrasted with a bad tree. And then it appears that what Jesus is doing here is describing, he's giving an example of a bad tree. This is not a good tree. This is not a believer. I mean, just look at this person's theology. Their theology at the end of the age, their theology at the final judgment is, Lord Jesus Christ, look at what I did for you. Didn't I do some amazing miracles and attach your name to it? Didn't I do some incredible exorcisms and attach your name to it? Didn't I do some great prophesying and preaching and attach your name to it? And the Lord's response in this case with someone who's got their focus on what they're doing instead of on what Jesus did for them, his response is, I never knew you. So this is not a Christian who loses their salvation. This is someone who never knew the Lord, and the Lord never knew them. So this is a bad tree, not a good tree. It's an unbeliever, not a believer. And the primary evidence of that, guys, is just this complete focus on what I'm supposedly doing for God instead of what he did for me through the cross and the resurrection. So at the end of the age, when we're sitting around celebrating Jesus and there's an account that all of humanity will give, we're going to have nothing to say except, well, my confidence is in Jesus Christ, in him alone, in his blood and his resurrection. It's not what I did, it's what he did for me. So, with that in mind, I think it's super important to get clarity on a passage like this so that we're not quaking in our boots when God tells us, hey, perfect love, my perfect love casts out your fear. You can have confidence in the day of judgment because as he is, so also are we, meaning we're as secure and as safe as Jesus, and we need to know it.
Yeah, I love, we got a phone call on this other day. A lady left a comment, and she pointed to this verse and said, see, people can lose their salvation. Why aren't you guys teaching that? You're just leading people astray, talking about this grace stuff and, the fact that we can be saved by grace through faith in Jesus and Jesus's finished work. See right there in Matthew 7, you can walk away from salvation. You can lose it. And I think, gosh, if you would just read the verse, that starts this and the one that ends it says, beware of false prophets. So that gives you a clue. And then at the very end, it says, you workers of lawlessness. Those are lost people, folks. We don't need much more theological, study to figure that out. It's very, very clear. And if we will just read context, it just makes sense. Yeah. So we can truly trust the blood of Jesus and the life of Jesus, his indestructible life in us.
Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Open lines, 844-322-2742. Remember Bob's offer of a copy of our book, Love Is. It's in celebration and observation of Valentine's Day. You'll have a free copy when you call 844-322-2742. So do that right now, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from Stephanie. She says, my question is, how do you balance the message of grace? I meet a lot of people that think that they can continue to sin and still go to heaven. They still continue to fornicate, lie, steal, live with the opposite sex without being married and so forth. How do you balance the message of grace with being a born-again believer?
Well, they go hand in hand, guys. I mean, there's no conflict here. God has already done the balancing. I mean, by grace, we're born of the Spirit. By grace, we've died to sin. By grace, we have a new heart and a new spirit and God's Spirit living in us. So if my definition of grace is really small, then sure, this becomes a big concern. But, the real definition of grace goes beyond just forgiveness. If forgiveness were all there were, imagine that. All these people come to Christ and God says, you're forgiven. Now go out and good luck. Well, you're forgiven all by itself is not a strong motivator. I mean, it's a motivator. The Bible says it is. But there's more motivation than just forgiveness. When we get saved, we're not just forgiven by God's grace, but we're also made new. We've got a new heart with new desires infused in that heart, etched on the lining of that heart. I tell people all the time, look, if you're born of the Spirit, if you're born of God, one of the greatest revelations we can have is this. I don't really want to sin. The flesh wants to sin. Of course, sin wants me to sin. The devil wants me to sin. The world wants me to sin. Look, there's a struggle, and we've got real opponents, but I need to know my identity. And my identity is this. I've got that new heart, and I don't really want to sin. That's why every time I do sin, every time I'm tricked, every time I'm deceived, there I am on the other side of that decision going, what have I done? Lord Jesus Christ, rescue me, teach me, show me a different way. I hate this. Well, you do hate it. You hate sin. The Bible says, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. So grace is much bigger than forgiveness. Forgiveness is I take away all your unrighteousness, but there's more to it. I also made you righteous. I gave you newness. I raised you to newness of life. So I think that we are limiting the gospel when we define grace as just being about the cross and forgiveness. wait a minute, the other half is the resurrection, new life. You've got a resurrection heart, resurrection desires. You're made like Jesus at the core, and this makes an enormous difference as we approach temptation going forward.
Great answer, Andrew. Thank you so much. And you know, I have a desire. I just wish that every pastor, every minister, every leader, every Bible study teacher on the planet would focus all their time and attention in learning what the grace of God is all about, and then teaching the grace of God to from the pulpits, you know, in Bible studies, in Sunday school classes, every possible way that we can communicate the grace of God. Why? Because that's everything. I mean, Paul said, I worked harder than everyone, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace working in me. It's we're going to be trophies of God's grace eternally. Angels long to look into this grace that we experience. Every single theologian, when they get to the end of their life, you know, some young theologue will come up and say, you know, what's the one thing that has just captured your attention more than anything? And without question, those old theologians will say, it's the grace of God. And I just wish I had spent more time in life learning and growing and understanding God's grace that has been poured out on me and through me and in me in the person of Jesus Christ. So my heart's desire, and I know, Andrew, it's yours, Richard, it's yours, is that people would just be captured in just this electric way with the grace of God, and that their whole mind would be caught up in growing and understanding and learning, because it's a God word. I mean, we have sabotaged that word. Dietrich Bonhoeffer years ago said cheap grace. Well, he wasn't talking about God. He wasn't talking about God's grace. He was talking about people and their responses. Well, why would you mess up a word like grace? You know, trying to connect it to the actions and behaviors of people. We've got to recognize that grace is all about God, what he has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. It is a God word. And we get that right, everything else is going to fall into place.
Well, again, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. If you've just joined us, we have a free offer for you. All you need to do is pick up that phone right now and dial 844-322-2742 in observance and a celebration of Valentine's Day. It's Bob's book called Love Is. A free copy awaits your phone call. 844-322-2742. Lines open right now. Hope you'll take advantage of this and get a copy of Love Is.
Yeah, before we go to our next question, I also want to mention, Andrew, you and I will be in Chicago March 9th and 10th for a conference. Actually, it's in Hinsdale, Illinois, and we have all the information about that on our website under our events link. It's called Simply Jesus. And, Andrew, give our listeners a just little summary of what they're going to hear and learn at this particular conference.
Yeah, well, you know, the book of Hebrews is really one of the most neglected epistles in the New Testament. A lot of people don't really know the treasures that are in that book. And to me, you know, it's one of my two favorite books of the Bible, Hebrews and Romans. If I were stranded on a deserted island and I could only pick one or two, Hebrews would be among them for sure. Why? Well, you know, it just covers so much about the fact that we're totally forgiven people. We've been invited to rest in the finished work of Christ. We don't have to get busy trying to impress God, but instead we can get busy fixing our eyes on Jesus and learning to rest in him. And then the fruit is born from that rest. I mean, a lot of flavors of Christianity out there are telling us we need to work in order to bear fruit. And the reality is that there's an incredible mystery here now revealed, that, hey, we're just branches. We get to depend and trust and live from Christ and rest in what he did for us. So I love the book of Hebrews. I know you do too, Bob. We're going to have a blast just discussing some of the highlights, the hot spots. You know, it's like looking at Hebrews in high definition. We're going to really focus in on some of the most controversial and compelling parts of the book of Hebrews. It's called Simply Jesus. We'll be in Chicago in the Hinsdale area, March 9 and 10. So again, sign up for that. Join us there. Maybe you've heard us now and then on the radio, or maybe you're a veteran listener for many years. Either way, we'd love to see you there. We're going to have a great time together.
Yes, we will. And I would encourage you to register fast. There's limited seating at this particular venue, so don't wait. Go ahead and register today and come join us in Hinsdale, Illinois. We would love to see you there.
From Waterford, Ontario, Darlene writes to us. She says, hi, guys. My question is, why does Paul have Timothy circumcised in Acts 16:3, but in chapter 15 of Acts, Peter says, why are you trying to compel the Gentiles to be circumcised? Why does Paul circumcise Timothy? She says, I just can't figure that one out. I know you will. That's from Darlene in Waterford, Ontario.
Well, it actually says so in verse 3. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him, because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was Greek. All Paul was doing was making sure that Timothy could talk to anyone that he came in contact with, Jew or Gentile. Is this an indication that Paul thought Timothy needed to be circumcised? No, this was the, I'm all things to all people so that I can by all means reach them with Jesus and the gospel. It was very, very simple. He chose to do it. Timothy went through with it. That was that.
Yeah. Yeah, guys. You know, I think you look at Galatians 5:6. It says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. The only thing that counts, or the only thing that matters, is a new creation. And that's what you're saying there. I mean, you know, Paul knew that. Timothy knew that. Paul did things now and then to save his own skin, to be able to preach longer, to save the lives of other people, to get the respect in the ear of others. When you're free, you're really free. You see, that's what a lot of people don't understand. They think their freedom is in rebelling against legalism. They think their freedom is rebelling against the system and being rebellious. But when you really embrace your freedom, you can hang out with legalists. No, you're not going to have as much fun, but you can hang out with legalists or hang out with folks who know the grace of God. And, you know, they can't steal what you have. You recognize your freedom and your stability. Look, what I'm saying here is the grace of God leaves us anchored, not angered. And there's a big difference there. I think Paul is giving us a prime example of knowing real freedom, which means I can walk among Jews, I can walk among Gentiles, and I'll do both for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah, and that's so important to understand. It is for the sake
yes.
of the gospel. We don't have to try to bend our minds around this and try to, you know, figure out the theology. You know, Paul laid out the theology. It's very clear. It's all about the grace of God, all about the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. This was just a part of that freedom so that they could communicate the good news of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection to anyone and to everyone, and to have a voice into their lives and hopefully a receptive ear in their audience. So, Paul did lots of things, but it was all for the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's the good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. We invite you to join the live Basic Gospel video stream every day on either our Facebook or YouTube channel. Come on in and see what goes on inside the studio. Also, stay connected with us every day with the Basic Gospel app. You can listen live or access the archive. You can send a question or make a donation. You can do it all with the Basic Gospel app. A reminder, too, that we have a free copy of Bob's book, Love Is, an Observance of Valentine's Day. As I said, it's absolutely free. Just call 844-322-2742. We'll get one on the way to you. Well, if you want to grow as a believer also, we want you to have this book that Bob has produced called, our CD actually, called Established in Truth. That's the title of it, and to be established in the gospel of Jesus Christ is absolutely imperative if you want to grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get a free copy of this on the way to you with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just go online to basicgospel.net, click donate, or call 844-322-2742, and we'll see you tomorrow at the same time. Bye-bye.